Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. This is the ALAC January conference
Join.
Call on Tuesday, the 28th of January, 2014. The time is 15:02 UTC, and I'll ask Gisela for the roll call, please.
Thank you, Olivier. Gisela here. On today's call on the English channel, we have Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Dev Anand-Tillotson, Holly Raich, Evan Leibovich, Tijani Benjema, Maureen Hilliard, Eduardo Diaz, Alan Greenberg, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Salanieta Tamanikai-Waimaro, Oksana Pyotko, Peter Knight, Ron Sherwood, Garth Brun, Roberto Gaetano, Siranush Vardanyan. On the Spanish channel, we have Leon Felipe Sanchez Ambia, Fatima Cambronero, Aida Noblia, Alberto Soto, and Maritza Ayou. On the French channel, we have Atia Ouattara, Pierre Devenu Locosu. We also have Julie Hammer and Murray Mukherjee with us. From staff, we have Silvia Vivanco and myself, Gisela Gruber.
And Heidi Ulrich,
welcome. Our interpreters today on the French channel are Camila, and on the Spanish channel we have David and Veronica. I hope I haven't left anyone off the roll call. I see Garth Graham has joined as well. I'll add his name. Have I left anyone else off? If I could also please then remind everyone to state their names when speaking, not only for transcript purposes, but also to allow the interpreters to identify you on the other language channel. And please also do speak at a reasonable speed for the interpreters. And Antonio Medina Gomez has just joined the Spanish channel. Thank you. Over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Gisela, and welcome, everyone, on this first call of the ALAC in 2014. I hope you've all had a good New Year's break, and best wishes to everyone on the call. Let's start with the adoption of the agenda and a call for any other business or any other amendments on the agenda. I don't see anyone putting their hand up, so the agenda is therefore adopted. And let's go to the review of the agenda items from our last call last year on the 17th of December 2013. In there, we have just one open action item that is ongoing with Matt working with Dave and Antti Lixing and myself on the development and overall workspace for the collection of at-large action items. We still haven't found the best solution for this. Let's try and select something, and we'll try and propose something for the next call. Going swiftly at the bottom of the page, the newly assigned action items. The first one is for Olivier to follow up with Sally Costerton on the need to expedite visa issuance for London. I have emailed Sally Costerton, who is well aware now. I mean, I had spoken to her in December already, but then also emailed her as a follow-up. And she has followed up with the meetings team and with the people who deal with the visa issuance. There is one thing that one needs to know, that there is, in general, any letters, invitation letters are drafted by the host of the meeting. So that's one thing which will need to be done by a third party. But there's also this understanding that it might be worth the ICANN themselves also send a letter of support on ICANN letterhead. So it is in hand. I unfortunately have nothing to relate back to you on this because I believe that Sally has not had any feedback yet. But on the earlier call today, or yesterday for some of you, in the AP Rallo region, there was a note that was asked of me to, an action item that was asked of me to follow up and put more pressure and try and get an answer sooner rather than later. Next, Heidi is to ensure that the CCMSO and the ALAC meetings in Singapore are scheduled properly so that the meeting with the CCMSO can take place. There is actually a follow-up on this. In fact, Maureen has put a follow-up at the bottom of the page. Maureen, do you wish to touch on this now, or do you wish to include this in the CCMSO report?
Thank you, Olivia. Maureen speaking. I don't mind leaving it till later, or now, whatever you want.
Okay, well, let's leave it till later then, so that it's all clean and so on. We know that this is ongoing. I think that we can say that the action item assigned to Heidi has been completed, since the matter is in hand with the joint working group from the CCNSO and the liaisons. And so we'll get the update in a moment from you. Next, Sylvia is to check the accuracy of the ATLAS II organizing committee list. Sylvia Mavanko has come back to me and provided me with some details, and I think that the mailing list is all in order. Sylvia, is that correct?
Yes, Olivier, is completed. I checked with Carlos Reyes, and he checked the accuracy of the mailing list.
That's great. Thank you very much, Sylvia. So that's done as well. Next, Olivier is to send a letter to the chair of the board with a copy of the minority statement on the draft final report on the protection of international government organizations and international non-governmental organization identifiers in all GTIDs. There was a statement that the ALAC made, and then after that, the ALAC also submitted a minority statement in the overall report that was submitted. And then Alan Greenberg made a copy of this and suggested some text as well, which was suggested on the mailing list. Now, just to let you know, the process has gone on. The correspondence has been sent to the public comment process, and I have also followed up with the chair of the board with a copy of the minority statement. I don't think that the board has looked at it yet, but I understand that the board will soon be going into one of their intercessionary meetings somewhere, and that they, I do not know whether they will be looking specifically at this or not, but at least it's in hand as well, ongoing. Next, Heidi is to send a call for members of the non-PDP cross-committee working group design team. And Matt is to add all members to the mailing list once the call for members is completed. Heidi, could you please provide us with an update on this?
Hi, Olivier. This is Heidi. That is still in progress, and I will do that ASAP.
Okay, thank you. Any questions, comments on the action items? I see Alan Greenberg. You have the floor, Alan.
Yes, thank you. On that last item, the group was officially formed at the last meeting, and there is a call out for membership. It will be meeting very soon. So the charter was approved. So it really is urgent that we get people involved with that. That's the one that we complained violently last time, but never actually submitted a comment to the GNSO, and the process is going forward. So we need to make sure we're participating. We can't complain afterwards if we don't. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. So, Heidi, if you could please...
Sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
Interrupt us, Gisela. May I just confirm that there's French interpretation on the... Sorry, just confirming that they're just asking Camilla if there is French interpretation, as Adja is telling me that she does not anything.
I'm still here. I'm checking with the operator to see if they can hear me.
Lovely. Olivier, if we can just clear this before we continue. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gisela, for this alert. And what I can do is to go slowly to ask for any more questions or comments regarding the newly assigned action items, and at the same time ask you, Gisela, if there is feedback from Hadja on the interpretation, if she is able to hear. Technical issues are sometimes something that happens. And there's also a question from Sandra if there is an audio bridge today in the Adobe Connect room. I was under the impression that there was.
It was working before.
Olivier, Olivier, I'm only using the Adobe Connect, and I can confirm there is audio.
There is audio.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay,
I am too. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Cheryl.
Gisela, here again, let me just clear for Hadja. Let me please just confirm for Hadja.
2014 sounds like the fun year for technical issues. If we start like this. Go ahead, Gisela.
Yes, Hadja can still not hear us. We're going to disconnect her line and call her back straight away. It will probably take a couple of minutes. Apologies
okay,
for the inconvenience.
Thank you, Gisela. And in the meantime, I think we're going to have to move forward. I realize we do have quorum, so we can continue forward. Apologies to Hadja, but we do have a lot of people on the call today, and some have not very much time here. Let's move to the next part of our call, since we have gone through the action items, which is the review of the current ELS applications. And for this, I will ask, is it Julia or Natalie or who? I think Natalie is not on the call, so I'm not quite sure who is going to deal with those applications. Someone from staff.
Hi, Olivier. Normally Matt does that, or Natalie, but neither of them are on the call. So I'm going to review them as they are on the agenda. So the recently certified ones are the Federación Comarian de Consumitur and the Hispanic Educational Technology Service. And those that are... I'm sorry, I'm... Just a moment, please.
Perhaps I should take them then. Okay, so it's Olivier speaking, Olivier Crépin-Ablon. Let's go for this. Recently certified at-large structures. First, we have the Internet Society Bangladesh Dhaka chapter, who has integrated AP RELO. Then we have the Internet Society Pakistan Islamabad chapter, also in AP RELO. Then we have the Internet Society Japan chapter, also for AP RELO, and the Capital Area Globetrotters in the Naralo region. Just to let you know, the Dhaka chapter and the Pakistan Islamabad chapter and the Japan chapter were people whom several of us have met at the IGF in Bali last year. So that's really as a direct follow-up from our activities in Bali, and I'm glad that they have joined and that we've managed to grow the region, grow one of our regions significantly. Next, we have organizations that are currently undergoing the accreditation process. The Internet Society Kenya chapter, as you might know, the ALAC vote is still currently open. It's actually somehow open and suspended until we have more information on the website, which currently is not running. I think several of us are feeling a little uneasy about accrediting an organization that doesn't have a website that is currently running. I think the suspension is indefinite until we actually have more information and until we have confirmation the website is running. Then there is an organization called Age Numérique. In Afralo, regional advice is currently being sought. And then a very recent application, Fundetic Bolivia, where due diligence is currently being carried out. That's in the Lacrallo region. Are there any questions or comments? Oh, I see two people. So let's see first with Tijani Benjama. Tijani, you have the floor.
Okay. Do you hear me, Olivier? Do you hear me?
Very well, Tijani. Please go ahead.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Tijani speaking for the transcript. I would like to say something about ISO Kenya. I saw a lot of comments on the web, on the list saying that we don't have, we there is no trust, we don't, we cannot accredit this kind of CLS, etc. I would like to remind you that I experienced exactly the same problem in the past. And while, Olivier, you came to Tunisia and participated in one of my events in Tunis, my ALS was very active. My our work website was down, and it was down exactly for the same reasons. So this is a problem that the NGOs may face because you know, people are coming and going, and generally, unfortunately, they don't do the required things before they come, they go. And in this case, in this particular case, the contact, the administrative and technical contact, was someone who went out, and they couldn't have anything from him, and they couldn't do anything for the site since they are not allowed to even to pay for the next period. So they didn't feel it. It was parked because they didn't pay, and they didn't pay because they weren't contacted. The contact was absent, wasn't there, and the contact didn't feel the responsibility to transmit the information. So now they have this problem, and my problem with them is that they don't want Barat didn't want to give me all the details. But I have feedback from Isaac Ward, from Christine, who is in charge of the development of chapters and the whole Isaac. And her her mail was very clear. Isaac Kenya is in good standing and is active. Dawit, who is the African Bureau chief, if you want, of ISOC, he said exactly the same thing. So I cannot refuse. I cannot accept that we refuse this ALS because they have a problem today with their website. We can defer the accreditation for some time, but we cannot reject it. In my point of view, it will be a pity. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. And let's go through the list first, and then I'll try and summarize. Alan Greenberg is next.
Thank you. I have no problem with the website being down. Problems happen. What I do have is their lack of any interaction with us. I personally made volunteered when it was still possible, and now it probably isn't anymore, to intervene if the problem was the contact had disappeared, and the contact, which thanks to Garth I verified, was a web design company. I said I could probably intervene and get the name transferred to someone who was a principal in ISOC Kenya, and we got nothing back. And my concern is if we send things to them, and Tijani, who knows him personally, sent things to him and didn't respond, that's the part of the problem I find, troubling. Not the fact that website per se is down, but the fact that it was down for a long time, we offered help, nothing came back. That kind of silence I find problematic. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. Next we have Evan Leibovich. Evan, is it specifically on this or something else?
Yes, actually, I have a comment on this, and but something else to add. So if there is more to, anyway, I was one of the people that raised the issue about this and asked for the originally the suspension, but the vote has simply been extended. I'd ask the questions about the responsiveness. I'm satisfied with the answers which Tijani gave, which have been given previously, either an email and elsewhere. Tijani, if you could relay back to the folks that we know that we're all dealing in good faith. I think, as Alan suggested, that this was simply a matter of hoping that they would be proactive in answering this on their own. You provided basically all the answers to the questions I could ask, and they're all satisfactory to me. I guess my own take on Alan's comment is that we would hope that if this is going to be an ongoing ALS that's going to be an active participant in that RALO and in at large, that we not have to prod them so hard for questions, that they're capable of coming to us and being proactive about letting us know what's going on. Anyway, I'll just leave it at that. I've voted in the vote. I'm happy with the questions that have been answered and so on. And so, yes, Olivia, I had another question. If you want me to wait on that until later, I'm happy to do so.
Yes, please go ahead, Evan. It's Olivia speaking. Please go ahead.
Okay. I know that the Atlas II issue is coming later on the agenda, but there's something related to this issue, and I just wanted to ask about the status of what the cutoff was for ALS applications that were eligible to participate in the summit, and to find out what the status of their inclusion is. I've heard from a couple of newly minted ALSs that, in fact, have gone through approval and have been voted on by ALAC, but they said that in some cases they've had difficulty either receiving the survey or participating in any of the prerequisites, and they're concerned that they may not that they may be denied from going on a technicality. So I don't know who would be the best people to talk to about this. I just want to ensure that people that some of the ALSs that have been approved to go, and that everybody that is eligible to go, that we've confirmed with them that they received the survey. I don't want people. I don't want anyone to be denied because of a technicality. We think they received the survey and they didn't answer it and they never got it. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Evan. I note from the chat that Heidi has asked you to send staff a note to list which ones of the ALSs you were speaking about. I know of at least one ALS that has emailed me and has asked about the status of whether they were going to go to London or not. They had received the link to the survey as sent by staff, that they weren't quite sure whether they were included in this or not. And I told them as long as they reply to this survey and fill it in, then of course that will get them on the listing of the ALSs that will travel over to London. I still see three hands up. I'm not quite sure whether these are old hands. I have a feeling that they are, but Tijani has his hand up still. So Tijani, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Olivier. Two things. First, about isoglycinia. It's right that Barak didn't give me the information of the who is that that should be on the who is for the new contact. But Barak interacted with me and he sent an email saying they are working on. He thinks that it will be fixed very soon, but it is not fixed. The ISOC word, Christine, sent me a very recent email saying that ISOC is working with the chapter to fix this problem. So it is something which is in hand with ISOC. It's not only with the chapter of Kenya, it is the whole ISOC who is trying to fix the problem. This is one information. Second point regarding the ALSs for the summit, the decision was made that the last date for accreditation of the ALSs to be in the summit was 31 of December. So any ALS who was certified before 31 of December will be accepted to be on the summit. the others wouldn't, because it is an endless process. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. I think I need to correct you on the last point you made. Any ELSs that has applied before the 31st, not that was certified. That was my understanding. The application needed to be in before the 31st, because as we know, for some, it might take a little longer time for them to get accredited, and others might be accredited a little faster. So it's the application time was the deadline. Any ELS that applies now in January will not be going to London. It will not be included in London. With regards to the Kenya, I saw Kenya application. I guess it's a touchy thing. The point which I think Alan was trying to make is, and I know how Alan doesn't say those things, but Alan was the chair of the post-expiry domain name resolution policy development process. I guess no one knows the policy better than he does, and I think his help would have made a real difference, especially since he also knows all of the parties involved properly. It's a bit of a pity that ISOC believe they can fix this more easily than making use of Alan's help, but such is life. I'm inclined to say we will leave it suspended until we have more concrete information on this. As you know, the application was filed in December, so it doesn't actually hinder on any chance of ISOC Kenya to make it to London. And the only thing that it hinders is for them to provide their input in the at-large survey for the Atlas II survey. But I do have questions if that community is going to integrate our community. If that ALS is going to integrate our community, it really needs to know that it's going to need to interact with this community, and I'm a bit concerned that we have them join and then we don't hear anything from them. So it would be helpful, Tijani, if you could please put the people from that organization in touch with Alan and follow up a little bit more on this. Let's not spend more time on that. Is there any question or comment on anything else regarding the ELS? I don't see anyone put their hand up. So let's go on then, and let's move on to the next agenda item, and that's the reports. Now, the different reports we have are all linked to the agenda page. We've got the working group reports, and we've got the RALO and liaison reports, and we've also got the monthly reports from all of our, from all of what's going on basically here. We've got the three links that are there. Usually, I guess we can just look through the liaison reports for the GNSO, the CCNSO, and the FSAC. Let's start with the GNSO liaison report with Alan Greenberg. Alan, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. The last meeting was held last Thursday. The report is online. The only two items I'm specifically focusing on are the one we already mentioned, the cross-constituency working drafting team looking at rules for cross-constituency working group, and the working group on what has been called metrics and reporting, GNSO metrics and reporting, has been chartered, and there will be a solicitation for membership as soon as the name is changed to something more meaningful. That's a request I made. This is a group looking at what registrars, registries can report to highlight abuse issues, and this is not a PDP at this point, just a working group looking for best practices, although it could become PDP-type consensus policy later, and I think it's a critical issue because it focuses on the types of abuse, many of them that we have been concerned with, so the working group, the drafting team rather, is being, working group, is being formed. And the announcement will be made soon. Once it is, I'll highlight it to the ALAC, and hopefully we can get some people participating in it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. Any questions for Alan Greenberg on his report? I don't see anyone having put their hand up, so let's go to the CTNSO liaison report with Maureen Hilliard. Maureen, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivia. It's Maureen for the record. I would like to report that Cheryl and I had a very amicable discussion with the CCNSO group, and I think we have really tried to address the issues that were raised at our last meeting, so that we have a meeting planned in Singapore for Monday lunchtime, and the items are, of course, in my report that's online. But I think that the important thing is that the meeting does prioritise the roles of the CCTLDs and the ALSs so that each group can actually understand. We've got a lot of new people on board, so it's to help everyone understand what each group does. And also there was a request for some discussion about common internet governance issues, which we will raise. Secondly, I attended the Freedom of Interpretation meeting, and because there was a lack of a quorum, we were unable to discuss the ALAC response to the public consultation and the revocation paper. So that will come up in our next meeting. And I'd also like to thank John for his liaison report as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Maureen. I think someone is not muted. We do have some interference. Any questions for Maureen Hilliard on her CTNSO report? Maureen, did you let us know a little bit about the progress on the working group at the moment to prepare for our face-to-face meeting with the CTNSO?
That was the meeting that I just discussed about the Monday lunchtime meeting with the CCNSO.
Yes, please. Yeah.
Yes.
That's for Singapore.
The actual content of the we have. I just mentioned that the topics that we will be covering include the role of our CCTLDs and the ALSs so that we get an understanding of what we each do and the internet governance issues. Are there any other questions about that?
There could be. Really, it's down to seeing if we will have an agenda ready by the time, and I guess you could probably give us an update at the time.
There will be an updated. We have another meeting planned just before Singapore, and a proper agenda will be issued.
Okay, thank you very much. Maureen, we have a question or a comment from Tijani Benjamin, and then we've got Cheryl Landonor afterwards. Tijani, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Last time I spoke about work which was done by Rudy and Ron about the ALSs and the CCNS representatives in ICANN, etc. So I tried to find it. Unfortunately, as you know, last year my hard disk crashed, so I didn't have the old data. I asked Rudy, and he promised, he's on travel now, but he promised to give me the link when he's back. So when I get the link, I will send it to Maureen so that perhaps they try to plan on what was done already. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. And next, we have Cheryl Langdonor. Cheryl, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Cheryl Langdonor for the record. I'll just speak to Tijani's point beforehand and then get back to the other item. Thanks for that, Tijani. That's very important that is shared As we all know, that was a very useful snapshot, and there has been a number of new ALSs and VCTLD members to the CCNO since then, but it was that data set is a victim to being on social text, and yes, it is a page that undoubtedly also will exist somewhere in an archive in an old form. But if Rudy and indeed Ron's on the call, Ron may also have a copy of any of the presentations and final data. That does definitely need to be repositioned in a new wiki page, because not only is there a desire for mutual work between both Maureen and Ron on behalf of ALAC and the CCNSO to continue on that, but a number of the regions, AP Rallo, for example, has done additional work now, specifically in our Oceania sub-regional team. So we need to build on that, and it is very annoying that it's one of the important pieces of work that is lost in the bizarreness of social text pages disappearing. What I wanted to say, Olivier, is to assure you about the agenda. We actually have fleshed out, I think, quite a very good agenda, and it was, in fact, to Heidi and should be passed on to you and the rest of the ALAC executive, if not the ALAC as a whole, for approval. I'm surprised that hasn't already been done. That was a staff-to-staff action item out of our meeting. But rest assured, we have enough of agenda to go up on the site already, and indeed it's a medium and long-term plan, because what the aim is to build over a couple of meeting opportunities, and certainly there's even work we've looked at specifically for London. So Tijani's point is important, but I'd also want to go back to your question on the ALAC and CCNSO meeting on Monday lunchtime. Trust us, Maureen and Ron have got it very well in hand. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl.
And we certainly are feeling better that the agenda is being built. We have Tijani Benjama. Tijani, you have the floor.
It was an old hand.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's move on then with our liaison reports. As you can see, the next one is the ESSAC liaison report. Then we have Julie Hammer, who is on the call. Julie, you have the floor. Julie? Unfortunately, at the moment, we're not able to hear you. I can't hear anything from Julie. Julie, I'm afraid we're going to have to email. We're getting some else.
Are you able to hear me now, Olivia?
Now we can hear you clearly, yes, but it's very, very noisy, please.
Oh, okay. It's clear. I'm hearing okay at my end. I'm getting an echo from somewhere. Okay, there's very little to report from ESSAC. Two of the working groups are very close to producing reports, and I think one of them, possibly two, will be ready for publication before Singapore, and that's probably all that I have to report. Thank you, Olivia.
Okay, thank you very much, Julie. And I'm getting feedback as well now, so you could use the... Okay, that's fine. Thank you very much. So we do have one more just quick liaison report. I was going to ask Mireille Lecoeche, our new .mobi liaison, who is on the call,
whether he could provide us with a very quick update as to what the progress has been with Dot Modi. Murray?
Yes, thank you, Olivier. This is Murray McKercher for the transcript. There is little to report at this point. The Dot Modi Policy Advisory Group is meeting in mid-February. We haven't set a date, and as soon as I have more information, I will pass that along. And apologies for not getting that earlier.
Okay, thank you, Murray. Is there any date at which you'll have the first meeting? What date did you say there was going to be?
The dates are being debated amongst the group. It's around the 14th of February. So as soon as I have a fixed date, I'll let everyone know, and then I can report back on our next call.
You can report on the next call. Thank you very much, Murray. That's absolutely great. Okay, super. Let's then move on, and let's go on to the next part, which I believe, well, we've got all of the different RALO reports. I just want to thank all of the RALO leaders for providing us with an update on what they've been up to. It's very helpful for all of the new ALSers joining, for them to be able to catch up with what is going on. And let's move now to the next agenda item. If I can find my agenda altogether, yes, there we are. We're now moving on to the new business items for decision, and that's agenda item number 6, the policy development activities. I invite you all to look at the policy development calendar, which is linked under policy advice development page. There have been several adopted ALAC statements since our last meeting. The study on who is misuse, the DNS security and stability analysis, cross-community working group report, and the request for written community feedback on the geographic regions working group recommendations have all been adopted. There has also been correspondence on the protection of IGO and INGO identifiers, as I've mentioned earlier to you. And we have also submitted another correspondence on the ALAC and LAC RALO correspondence as a follow-up about the Brazil conference and OneNet. There hasn't been a there has been a reply on the ALAC and LAC RALO correspondence as a follow-up about the Brazil conference. And that response has basically been Fadi sending this on over to Adil Apogan, who is the person in charge of the OneNet discussions. Sadly, no one from at large has been directly selected to be on any of the committees. But I'm saying directly, we do have indirectly some people who are at large friends that are on the committees that have been chosen by the Brazil conference people, as announced on the mailing list by Hartmut Glaser. Statement or endorsement currently being developed, there are quite a few as usual. The first one is the draft criteria and process for selection of the Multi-Stakeholder Ethos Award pilot program. This is a program that ICANN has designed to answer some of the criticism that has been received that mostly the board and chairs of supporting organizations, advisory committees, people high up in the ICANN structure often get all the thanks but do the least work. The real heavy lifting is done by people in working groups and in GNSO working groups and at-large working groups and CCNSO working groups. And these are very seldom, these people that do the heavy lifting are seldom recognized. So this selection of this ethos award will be awarded to someone who has effectively been very busy in working groups, as some say, at the bottom of the pyramid. I guess in the bottom-up model, that's really great. What this consultation asks for is for you to have a look at the kind of qualities that people have to be able to receive that award. And effectively, if you have any other suggestions as to what these people should have as qualities, then please bring them forward on this page. Next, the draft vision, mission, and focus areas for a 5-year strategic plan. The ALAC is currently voting on the statement which has been drafted by Tijani Benchema. And, so if you're interested in this, I guess the Finance and Budget Subcommittee has been directly involved with the drafting of this as well and has provided its feedback. And the next one is the review of trusted community representation in the Root Zone BNSSEC key signing ceremony. The whole dynamic naming system is now signed using these digital electronic keys using DNSSEC. At the top of the pyramid, you have these electronic keys that are effectively just a very complex set of numbers on a USB stick. And these are given to some members, trusted members of the community. And so there is a review at the moment on how to select those trusted members of the community who meet, I don't know how many times, a few times a year, face-to-face to update the keys. And so Salah has volunteered a few hours ago to draft a statement on this. I'm not sure whether it is already on the wiki at the moment, but she has sent it over to staff, so I hope that staff has been able to put it on the wiki. No, it's not on the wiki yet. Okay, well, it will be on the wiki, I guess, after the end of this call. I'll invite you all to comment on it, and if more people want to be involved in the drafting process, then of course please bring your comments forward. Alan, you have the floor. Your hand is up. Go ahead, Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. A few minutes before this meeting, there was another statement on the policy statement, one on SEC 13, which disappeared. It must have been moments before the meeting started. That was one that Evan and I were charged with saying whether a statement was necessary or not. My position was that a statement is not necessary because we weren't really going to comment on the SEC 13. One of the things they asked was should they have a category for dot brands, and we have talked about making a statement similar to ones we've made before, saying that we want to go on record as saying that we object to a new category being created for dot brand when similar categories have been rejected for other types of domains, such as the geographic ones, community ones. I just put in the statement, in the chat, the statement that we're suggesting. I think it's reasonable that this be adopted without any large amount of public consultation or at large, because it's simply a repeat of what we've said before at a timely point. So I think both Evan and I would not object strongly if the ALAC does nothing. On the other hand, it is an opportunity to say something that we've said before and make a pointed comment. We're talking about a one-sentence statement, and I'll read it. It's in the chat. The ALAC has no input on the details of Specification 13, but wishes to go on record as objecting to the creation of a new category of GTLD at this point, when earlier decisions were made to not have categories of TLDs supporting community, geographic, and other similar classes of GTLDs.
Thank you very much, Alan.
That the ALAC vote on the statement now, but it's up to the ALAC.
Thank you very much, Alan, and maybe I'll do a quick consensus call in a moment. If that's okay, because I can see the statement is pretty short, and it is actually in the comments on that policy page. If you cannot access that policy page, since it appears to have disappeared from the ALAC agenda, then the link to it is over in the chat. I've just put it on just now. Have a quick read. It's at the bottom of that page in the comments section. Evan Leibovitz, you have the floor.
Thanks a lot, Olivier. I got in the queue after Alan, having talked to him about this at the beginning before the call started, and you mentioned you wanted a consensus call. If you would like this to be put forward in the form of a motion, I'm happy to make it at this time. I have something else to say, but first I just wanted to get through that. Did you want to do this as a consensus thing, or did you want to... that had a mover, seconder, and a vote?
It's Alan, for the record. A consensus call is an alternative to doing a vote. In either case, we need a motion.
Okay. So if that's the case, then I would like to I would like to formally move the acceptance of the statement that Alan wrote in as a comment and has just now read into the record in this call as a statement on Spec 13 for us to approve and to forward to both the board and those requesting the feedback. Thanks. I have another.
Thank you very much, Eric.
I wanted to make the motion to approve this.
Thank you very much, Evan. And we need a seconder for this, I believe.
You have one. It's Alan.
Thank you very much, Alan.
In the chat.
And since this is going to be a statement that we send out, if you want to change this into actually giving the green light for this statement to be sent out, so we're not going to conduct a vote online. I believe we have quorum, and so we could conduct a vote there and then right now on that. This is items for decision at the end of the day. Evan, your hand is still up.
So I just wanted to know if how you want to proceed with this before I mention my other thing.
Okay. I was going to suggest then that we have a formal vote with the hands up, with the green ticks, basically. Any of the ALAC members being in favor could vote with a green tick. For those people that are not on the Adobe Connect, those ALAC members that are not on the Adobe Connect, could they please make their vote known as well? And then staff will record the votes and we'll read the votes to the record. I think we can do that in a minute or so. I don't think that this is a particularly long statement, and I see already a lot of green ticks on the screen. Evan?
Okay. I simply said I have another unrelated issue to raise when this is done, so I just wanted to get an okay from you to move on.
Okay, that's fine. So let's start. Staff, are you ready? And I'm not sure who will deal with the votes.
So, Olivier, this is Heidi. Sylvia and I are going to take the vote. So if you wanted to, again, for the record, state which PC this is for, who that Evan motioned it and Alan seconded it, then we can take the vote.
Okay. Thank you very much, Heidi. So the public comment is the at-large proposal for a specification 13 to the ICANN registry agreement to contractually reflect certain limited aspects of .brand new gTLDs. Now, there is a link to this in the Adobe chat, which I believe, where is it now? I put it in the Adobe chat. No, it's not. Okay. There was a link to it. I believe that, Dave, did you put the link to this?
The statement is in the chat. The statement itself is in the chat.
The statement itself is in the chat. Thank you very much, Alan. So the suggested statement is the ALAC has no input on the details of specification 13, but wishes to go on record as objecting to the creation of a new category of gTLD at this point, when earlier decisions were made to not have categories of TLD supporting community, geographic, and other similar classes of GTLD. End of statement. And David Antilik Singh has also put a link to the page as well on the chat. For those members who are ALAC members only who are in favor, could you please now put your green tick on the Adobe chat or vote in person?
You have green ticks from everyone except, you have green ticks from everyone, all ALAC members who are on the call, 9 of them.
So we've just had Leon join as well. So just wanted to make sure that Leon is aware of the vote.
Leon, are you aware of the vote?
Okay, so is he on
please
the
forward.
He's put a tick on.
Oh, he's tick. Okay. And again, this is only for ALAC members. So those of you who are not ALAC members, can you please remove your green tick? Okay, Olivia, are you ready to for staff to take the vote?
Yeah, I'll see. Well, you'll have to, Maureen, you'll have to take your tick off. And I guess everyone else is an ALAC member, so let's proceed forward.
Maureen is an ALAC member.
It's Murray that had the...
Oh, Murray, sorry. Yeah, sorry, my eyes are going wrong.
Okay, are you ready, Olivier?
I'm certainly ready. Go ahead, please.
Okay, so on the vote, those in favor, we have green ticks from Olivier, Alan Greenberg, Devanand Talik Singh, Eduardo Diaz, Evan Leibovich, Fatima Cabranaro, Holly Raish, Leon Sanchez, Maureen Hilliard, Sandra Hopperichte, and Tijani Benjamin. So we're putting those names in the AC room. And
is there anyone who is not in the AC room?
If you could please keep your green ticks up as we're just finishing noting the names.
Okay, so let's take your ticks off, please. And those who vote against this, could you please put a big red cross on this? Going once, going twice. I don't see anyone having putting their a big red cross. Okay, and anyone who is abstaining, could you please now put your hand up? And that's, of course, apart from Evan. As we know, Evan has voted in favor already. And I don't see any abstentions on there. So it is carried. Thank you. All right.
Olivier, Cheryl here. Sorry, I just saw Hadja in the chat also said okay for me as well, and she said that during the vote, so I would suspect it may be that she doesn't know how to put a green tick up, but I would have assumed that her vote should go for the... Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. And on the action items, I see the list at the moment. In favor, Alan Greenberg, David Antelik Singh, Eduardo Diaz, Evan Ibovich, Fatima Cambronero, Holly Raish, Leon Sanchez, Maureen Hilliard, Olivier Catanablon. Please don't put Leon again a second time. I believe we've only got one Leon Sanchez. And then Tijani Benjema, Sandra Hofer-Richter, and Hadja Ouattara. And that provides us with 12 people in favor. No, less than that. 9, 10, 11 people in favor. Is that correct, Heidi?
Olivier, we're just taking the record, so we'll get back to you in just a moment.
Okay.
So, Sylvia, did you finish?
Yes, I counted 11.
Thank you very much, Sylvia.
Okay,
so 11 in favor, and then no one voting against, and no abstentions.
Sorry, Olivier, Tijani also said yes, and he's not on the line. He's not on there, so it's Tijani. So we have 12 in favor.
12 in favor. Okay, thank you. 12 in favor. 12 in favor, no abstentions, no one voting against. So that is carried, and therefore it will be sent over to the public comment process. Thank you very much, and sorry for the little slowness in going ahead with this. Evan Leibovich, your hand is up. You can now move forward.
Thanks. Actually, Olivier, what I wanted to do was to bring forward an issue that was an action item coming out of the executive committee to do with compliance. And I wanted to sort of handed the floor over to Garth. There was some discussion about Garth and myself and Alan coming up with something to bring forward to AILAC regarding ongoing compliance issues. And so while that hasn't happened, Garth has constructed a memo that he would like to propose for us to consider for moving forward. So with your indulgence, Olivia, I'd like to give the floor to Garth to explain this.
Thank you very much, Evan. I've corresponded with Garth just now in the chat and suggested that we have this
Let's see, looking at the agenda, as agenda item number 11, before the any other business, so just after the working group updates, hopefully we can fly through the rest of this agenda. The reason being that it's not an item that we will be able to make a decision on right now, so it really is an item for discussion. And I'm not even sure if the agenda has been updated. I know that I have asked Heidi to update the agenda. No, the agenda has not been updated yet.
Sorry, we're getting to that right now. Sorry, we're short-staffed today. Apologies for that.
Is that okay with you? Garth, are you okay with having it as agenda item number 10?
Olivia, this is Evan. It's fine with me, and I think I got a message from Garth saying it's okay with him.
Okay, thank you. So let's move forward then swiftly. I realize we have been on the call for an hour already, so time is passing by. Let's go on now with the rules of procedure revision. That's the next part where we need to make a decision. Yes?
Sorry to interrupt, please. Antonio Medina Gomez on the Spanish channel has a question, please.
Okay, then please, Antonio, you have the floor. Antonio Medina Gomez.
This is Antonio speaking.
Olivier Gisela here. Sorry to interrupt, but Antonio's line has just dropped. We will try and reconnect him. And if you can take the floor then, I'll let you continue with the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gisela. It's just one of these days. Let's go to number 7 in our agenda, the ALAC Rules of Procedure Revision, with Alan, who's going to provide us with a quick update and follow-up. And he's probably going to be a lot more efficient at doing this than me. So, Alan Greenberg, you have the floor.
Thank you. In Buenos Aires, we decided to make to fill some gaps in the rules regarding the electorate for the board seat election. Unfortunately, it fell through the cracks. That is, a motion was proposed, a motion which incidentally had a typo in it. Evan made the motion. It was seconded by Carlton, who was not an ALAC member at the time, therefore not valid, and then we forgot to do anything about it. I guess over the Christmas holidays, it just fell through the cracks. So my recommendation is, assuming the ALAC still intends to do this, and we did decide in Buenos Aires to do it, that we should do this with a vote at this meeting.
Thank you very much.
I believe it is pointed to by the agenda somewhere. Essentially, the substance is
Sorry to interrupt. The link to the motion has been placed in the chat.
The substance is it gives Raylos the ability to replace people who are not eligible to vote for one reason or another, to make sure that all Raylos have their full complement of votes in the process.
Thank you very much, Alan, for this. And so the rule of procedure revision motion is it's linked over to the chat as we have at the moment. And so we're going to, I guess we have to read through it first, and then we will need a proposer, a seconder, and we'll conduct a vote again on this. So, motion for ALAC revision. And the reason, of course, for the vote is in order to be able to move forward with this, the process is moving forward for the voting, and also the fact that we have discussed this during the ALAC meeting in Buenos Aires. So this is really a follow-up now. Motion for ALAC revision. Whereas the ALAC approved revised rules of procedures on 3rd of April 2013, which came into effect on 3rd of October 2013, whereas the selection of the at-large board member occupying seat 15 of the ICANN board is in the process of being initiated, whereas the selection procedures were written with the intent of having 4 voters per ICANN region, whereas 2 rules of procedure omissions have been identified, which could reduce the number of voters per region, whereas section 10.1.3 of the rules of procedure allow the ALAC to approve additional rules to address these omissions, and I think that there needs to be an amendment on this, to address, probably not. So additional rules to address these omissions. Whereas at its meeting in Buenos Aires, the ALAC discussed the proposed changes and decided to put them into effect by a vote, please amend that error as well, a vote after the close of the Buenos Aires meeting, it is resolved that the ALAC approves the following 2 rules to the ALAC rules of procedure. The first one, if a RALO chair position is not currently filled, or if the RALO chair is not available to participate as an elector, or if a RALO chair also holds a vote as an ALAC member, the RALO for his or her region will name a replacement for the purposes of the vote. This replacement must be approved by vote of the RALO according to its rules. Secondly, if an ALAC member is unavailable to participate as an elector, the RALO for his or her region will name a replacement for the purposes of the vote. This replacement must be approved by vote of the RALO according to its rules. And Alan added a rationale underneath, which is that when first published, there was a typo which is now corrected, a missing notch in the first resolved. The original form was moved by Evan, but not seconded by any sitting ALAC member. Since we have made a change in this, I would like a proposer, please.
Olivia, this is Evan. I'm happy to remove the motion.
Thank you very much, Evan. And a seconder?
It's Alan, I'll second.
Thank you very much, Alan. And finally, I did ask, but were there any questions, last-minute questions, before we will vote on this, so that we're all aware of how we're voting? Dave and Anthony, please. You might be muted, Dave.
Olivier,
we cannot
this
hear
is
you.
The interpreter. Sorry for interrupting you. Antonio Medina Gomez is back on the Spanish channel, and he has a question to ask you.
Thank you very much. Is this related to the rule of procedure revision?
Okay.
Olivier, this is the interpreter. Yes, the question is related to the rules of procedures.
Okay, thank you. So we'll first have Dave ask his question, and then afterwards, Antonio Medina Gomez. Dave and Antonio, you have the floor.
Thanks. My question, I hope everybody's hearing me.
Yes.
My question is regarding the, not that I don't disagree with the substance of the two rules, but shouldn't this be given a proper line number, or exact, so say exactly where in the rules of procedure this is going to be in?
Yes, thank you, Dave. Alan?
We certainly can identify them. Since we were inserting them, I didn't think it was necessary in this text, but I could come up with the numbers quickly if we feel that's appropriate. We'll take but a minute.
Thank you very much, Alan. Let's go over to Antonio Medina Gomez. Antonio, you have the floor.
This is Antonio Medina Gomez. Thank you very much, Olivier. This is Antonio Medina for the record. I think it is important to identify the points to be modified or the changes, not only the position that I was mentioned, because it is usual to delegate this type of procedures within the railroad. So the idea is to see if it is convenient and what problems may appear so that we can analyze this as an exceptional case.
Yes, thank you very much, Antonio. I believe you have finished your comment. Indeed, I mean, one of the reasons why this has appeared now is because of the fact that there has been much thought regarding the unavailability of some members in the voting, in the electorate. And especially one of the conditions might be that there might be some railroad members that have so railroad chairs that might be in the run for the election process. So the replacement of the voting members is something that is important. I see Alan Greenberg has his hand up. Maybe you can add to what I've just said. Alan?
No, that was an old hand. You can go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So this really is the reason why there is this amendment now. For some reason, we have not addressed the unavailability of someone in the electorate to be able to vote. In the previous round of elections, there was a big question mark over this, and one person got a proxy to vote on their behalf, and another person did not get a proxy, another member did not get a proxy to vote on their behalf. It's all about trying to make this as clean as possible, and so this is a procedure that would actually make it quite clear and straightforward for any of the railroads to be able to proceed forward with changing the person who actually holds the vote. I have to remind you that as far as ALAC members are concerned, their vote is often, it is really up to them whether they wish to do a directed vote, if they wish to actually listen to their region that appointed them and perform the vote from their region, or whether they want to vote on their own choice. But as far as the railroad leaderships are concerned, it is expected that they would be relaying the region's vote. Tijani Benjamal, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Several things. First of all, the case of a member of the electorate who is candidate, it is already addressed by the rule of procedure, so it will not be under those changes. Second point, the only possible case is a member of the electorate who is unavailable. Unavailable means ill or anything. But since the vote is generally electronic, I don't think that this is a barrier. Anyone can vote even if he is not available physically. So my concern, as I explained very well in Buenos Aires, is that we are changing the rules in the course of election. We are already in the process. This is what bothers me. And I don't think that we don't have, first, we don't have people who are at the same time a RALO chair and ALAC member. We solved it. Cyril, thank you very much. You solved it in Buenos Aires. This is not a case now. For the electorate being candidate, it is already addressed in the rule of procedure. What is remaining? It is remaining that one electorate member is unavailable. And I think unless he is dead, he is killed, he can vote in any case, in any anywhere he is, and in any condition he is. So if we can avoid changing the rules during the game, I think it's better for us. It's better for our credibility. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Alan, you have any supporting any thought on this?
I guess I would question whether indeed anyone can vote as long if they're not dead. I would suggest that there are situations where that might not be the case. I don't feel very strongly about this. Tijani's right that we know of no cases right now where this rule would kick in. We did solve the problem of someone being holding two votes. Someone raised the issue of what happens if a BCEC member is suddenly made a chair between now and the vote. This rule would cover that, but we're not planning for that to happen. We decided in Buenos Aires to go ahead with it, so I'm doing my part of the job of drafting it. Chances are it will not kick in for this election, which is why I don't feel particularly bad doing it. It is conceivable that someone could be unavailable and the railer would have a chance to replace them, but could not if this rule is not approved. The chances are moderately small. I don't feel particularly strong about it.
Okay, thank you very much, Alan. And I think that the only way we can find out then, really, because I'm starting to sense we're going back into the discussion that we had in December and moving on, why don't we just submit this over to a vote and everyone votes on whether they wish to have this or not have it.
You may want to read into the chat
where we need
what Cheryl just put. Read into the record what Cheryl just put.
I will, yes. This is not one of these things where it is a statement that requires a very, very strong vote as such to push something forward. And I guess that if we do have this vote that is a split vote, we will also be able to refer to this transcript record showing that it's not that people are against having this, but it is that they don't feel that it is required. As such, just on the transcript at the moment, Dave and well, Alan has provided some details as to numbers, possible numbers. Two new rules would be inserted in 19.10, but then it would shift all of the numbering forward. And so Alan suggests that we shouldn't put the actual numbers in the motion itself. Alan?
Olivier, it's Alan. I'm sorry, I just realized that we would approve this if we do not as an amendment to the rules, therefore there are no numbers. I erred on that one. This is being approved as the ALEC adding a rule, not a change to the rules of procedure as such.
So that's reality, but, additional rule, basically. Okay.
Yeah, but they're not numbered. This would have to be done formally to change the rules of procedure in another time. This is simply putting additional rules the ALEC has the discretion to make. It's not a formal amendment to the rules, so sorry about that. They do not get numbers.
Thank you very much, Alan. So we have this motion that is brought forward by Evan Leibovich, seconded by Alan Greenberg, and I now ask for the vote to take place. For those who are in favor, could you please put a green tick on the Adobe Connect, and those people who are unable to do that, please put it in the Adobe Connect chat or say it on the call. And of course, I'm speaking about the ALAC members only, please. ALAC members. Maureen, you have your hand up. Maureen, you have the floor.
Sorry, Olivia, I've just checked the wrong one. I'm putting my hand up. Okay, so are we ready for the vote?
Okay.
Okay, Sylvia is going to read them out loud, and I read your names out loud, and I will note them. So, Sylvia, please.
Yes. We have Eduardo Castilla, Ivan Milovich, Dev Anantilasin, Fatima Cambronero, Holly Reich.
Okay, sorry, slow. Slow down, please. So Fatima, okay?
Okay.
Go ahead. Fatima?
So, Fatima. Holly Ray, Leon Sanchez, Sandra Hoffer-Richter. That's all.
No, I have Alan.
Alan Kinder, sorry. And Maureen Hilliard.
And Olivier. So let's just go over that again. Sorry. Okay. Read again.
Anne Blond, Maureen Hilliard, Alan Greenberg, Devan Antelustin, Eduardo Diaz, Ivan Livovich, Fatima Candonero, Holly Ray. Leon Sanchez. And Sandra Hoffer-Richter.
So we have 10 in favor. The motion has passed.
Thank you, Heidi. Anyone voting against? I see at the moment Tijani Benjamin voting against. And I note that Haja at the moment is abstaining. So we have an abstention from Haja Ouattara.
Correct.
So anyone voting against, anyone else voting against the motion, please put a red tick, a red mark, a red cross on the Adobe Connect. I don't see any other red marks, no. And so we have the abstention from Haja. Anyone else abstaining? No one. Okay, thank you. So we have 10 in favor, 1 against, and 1 abstention. And so I thank you all for this vote. This motion is carried, and so this revision is added to the rules of procedure. Thank you. Let's move on. Number 8, establishment of an at-large ad hoc ICANN accessibility working group. And that's actually a very interesting, very good initiative. The ENAC is basically asked to make a consensus call on whether we should establish an ad hoc at-large accessibility working group. We have Christopher Mondini, who is with us on this call. Christopher, can you hear us?
Yes, hello. It's Christopher Mondini. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Christopher. You are the regional vice president for North America, I believe.
Correct.
And I also note that Garth Bruin has also got his hand up in the chat. So on the Adobe Connect, shall I just let you sort of go through a quick rundown on what the initiative is about, please, Christopher, and then I'll hand the floor to Garth Bruin immediately after that.
Certainly. Thank you. It's Chris Mondini, and I'll just give a little bit of background. I think you and the staff have summarized the gist very well in the notes that were circulated. But since taking on the role of Vice President for Global Stakeholder Engagement for North America, I've engaged with a number of at-large leaders from this region, but also from other regions during the ICANN meeting, and specifically on three internet user populations that include those that have a physical disability or physical challenge, also some discussions on Aboriginal or Native American or First Nation groups, and also some conversations with one of your members about disadvantaged populations, vulnerable populations, I think is the WSIS term, and that includes refugees, displaced or trafficked people, abused people, and so forth. And there is a great deal of knowledge and also passion about what I think could be two things worthy of exploration. One, I think, is the more challenging one, which is how ICANN's core role of coordinating, addressing, and identifiers in internet resources might be deployed in some way to improve accessibility for groups like these. And a second, more broadly, and perhaps easier, would be ways to include the participation of these groups in ICANN policymaking, in accessibility to ICANN information, resources, meetings, and so forth. Working with some of the staff and some of these leaders, we came up with the idea of an ad hoc working group within At Large with work streams or committees on each of these groups to really sit down and be a best practice clearinghouse and sounding board for what we can do in this area and see what we can learn in the coming weeks. So that was the origin and background of the proposal that's before the group.
Thank you very much, Christopher. Next, so Gulf Bruin, please. You have the floor. Gulf, you might be muted for the time being.
Sorry, thank you. This is Gulf Bruin. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we've had a push in Naralo to recruit disabled user groups, and we have several prospects already. In general, in terms of dealing with the ad hoc group that has come up within At Large, I would like to recommend that we have a teleconference as soon as possible before Singapore so we can help develop our agenda. So the quicker we get this group established and the quicker we get a teleconference going, the better we'll be able to work. And thanks for your help, Christopher.
Thank you very much, Garth. And so I open the floor for questions or comments on this. I see Cheryl Langdonor. Cheryl, you have the floor.
Thanks.
Cheryl, you might be muted or you have dropped.
Have we dropped? She's
no, you're back now. You're back. You must have broken up a little bit. So I don't think we can hear Cheryl.
I dropped for a moment. Hey, sorry, I dropped for a moment. Are you hearing me now?
Yes, we can. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Excellent. Thank you. Thanks, Chris. That was an excellent background run and a very important piece of work. And this way forward has my absolute support, and I wanted to recommend it for the ALAC to approve at today's meeting. Just a Garth point. As he knows very well from the work on our unofficial little mailing list, there is every intention of having a meeting as soon as possible, and I believe there's already plans for a doodle to go out for all of us to do that. But I just wanted to point out that a number of regions, of course, already do have at-large structures who are specifically dedicated to interests of representing various classes of people who may find the accessibility issues we're discussing important. These are not, of course, just limited to physical disabilities, as Chris has outlined. And I think this move by At Large should it go ahead, and I trust it will, is a very much a watershed and turning point one for ICANN, and just wanted to recommend it absolutely to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Any other comments or questions?
Hi, Olivia. Sala here with a comment.
Yes. Go ahead, please, Sala. Sala Tamani Kamaro.
Thank you very much. Sala for the transcripts. I was actually looking forward to this part of the agenda and congratulate Chris and everybody who's been working hard to get to this point. And I just wanted to acknowledge the categories that have been listed so far. It's really, really awesome, access to disabled persons, including indigenous communities and that sort of thing. And pending adoption by the ALAC, I'd like to also have it on record to have my name as one of the volunteers for the working group once it's adopted. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Sala. This is noted. So I don't see anyone else in the queue to comment or ask questions. And I see Eduardo Diaz. Eduardo, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to, I heard that it's been proposed to have this as an ad hoc working group, and I'm wondering if it should be in a standing group. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Eduardo. I'll take the question from Murray McKersher and then respond. Murray, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. It's Murray McKersher for the record. I just wanted to also congratulate everyone on this enterprise, as it seems that it would bring the Internet community together, not based on a geographical distribution, but on one that we could all focus on together. I'll take that comment. Thank you.
That's great, Murray. Thank you very much. And then next we have Cheryl Lindenor, and then I'll answer the question which was asked by Eduardo Diaz. Cheryl, go ahead.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Olivier. And in fact, I wanted to respond to Eduardo. I think the ad hoc status is probably worthy at this time, because in an ideal world, this is something that is far beyond just the confines of at large interests, but goes ICANN wide. So with Chris's support and assistance, this is something that will go into areas, and that's where the clearinghouse model is so useful in the design of this. This will go into areas that will probably be far more appropriately housed under a bona fide cross-community nomenclature. So I get too tied up about the standing versus ad hoc. I certainly believe all the work that needs to be done now can be done from an at-large perspective, at least, as an ad hoc one, and one that, of course, is as open as we always are, but aggressively and very proactively open to all of the ICANN community. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. And yes, there was a discussion as to whether it was going to be ad hoc or whether it was a standing working group. There is a precedent in the at-large ICANN Academy ad hoc working group, which then became a cross-community working group that benefited all of ICANN, and hence the idea of also calling this group an ad hoc working group so as to move on and evolve into a large ICANN-wide working group as soon as we can. But of course, as in many of these cases, at large is showing the way forward. Okay, so I see no one else in the queue, and I think that what we can do in order to move swiftly is to have a consensus call on this. Now, a consensus call is basically just me asking whether there's anyone who is opposed to this working group being, this ad hoc working group being created. We've had time to discuss it, and you've heard from everyone here, and you've had time to ask questions. So I effectively now do a consensus call and ask if there's anyone who is against the creation of this ad hoc working group, and if you are, then please state your reasons or your concerns. And I don't see anyone putting their hand up, so that means we have consensus here present that this working group should be created. And therefore, the working group will be created, and we need to, instruct staff, I guess this is an action item, to create the wiki page, etc., all of the things that work around with a working group, with a link to our working group page. Heidi, could you please confirm that this will be created as soon as possible?
This is Heidi Olivia. Yes, I confirm that all of the workspaces and mailing lists, etc., will be created.
Thank you very much.
And I believe a first call is going to be scheduled as well. I believe a first call.
Thank you very much, Shelly. First call, yes. So the several things. So first call will need to be tabled very shortly. I would suggest that we could have an interim chair as Cheryl, who is well aware of all these how to create those working groups and the sort of first step forward into getting the wheels in motion for this. And Cheryl, are you okay with that, Cheryl? You'd be... I see a green take from Cheryl Langdonor. Okay, that's fine. She can launch this and move it forward. And thank you very much for joining us, Christopher Mandini, on this initiative. I really am thrilled to see this moving forward. And I know that there will be a lot of members, definitely Sala, but we also have several at-large structures already involved who have people that are very interested in those issues. And I wish this working group real success and a big expansion to cover all of ICANN's activities. It's particularly important.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so let's move on then. I'm trying to look at my various screens and think, well, should we move forward? Let's move forward then with the next thing, the items for discussion. I realize we are already 8 minutes beyond the original idea for the end of this call. I think half past was the time when we were supposed to finish. Are we okay with the interpretation? Gisela?
Olivier Gisela here. We are fine with interpretation until 1700 UTC for another 22 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gisela. So let's move forward. And the items for discussion, we have three of them. The first is the Singapore meetings and agendas. And the next one is the working group update, and then we have the item on ICANN compliance. First, the Singapore meeting and agendas. And for this, we've got a review of the meeting and agendas, and I guess I'll have to ask staff for this.
Hi, Olivia. This is Heidi. Gisela and I are going to be sharing this item, and we, just for the speed of going through this, we have the ALAC meetings as regular on Sunday, on Tuesday, the wrap-up on Thursday, this time again for 3 hours, as that has worked well, and an ALT call for 3 hours on Friday. And I'm going to hand it over to Gisela for the working group and the RALO meetings. Gisela? If you're able to.
Sorry, Gisela here for the record. We have the working group meetings on Monday. We have the RALO meetings will be the NARALO, the AP RALO. And with regards to the working group meeting, we have the, sorry, I did not have them in front of me. Sorry about this. We will have the registration issues working group meeting on Tuesday, and the Academy Working Group session on Wednesday. There will be a couple of Atlas II meetings, the Afrala African meeting on Wednesday afternoon, and the At-Large IDN Working Group meeting on Wednesday afternoon. Thursday we will have the Future Challenges Working Group meeting, and that concludes on the Working Group meeting.
And Olivier, if I could have the floor just for a moment.
Yes, at the moment you and Gisela have the floor, so you can hand the baton back and forth. To you.
So on the showcase, it is likely, very likely, that the gala will be on Monday, just for the Singapore meeting. So that means that the showcase will likely be moved to Wednesday. So at the same time, it's just a shifting of days. So we wanted to let you know about that. And there's also
the next agenda item is, as it was an action item, was for Holly or someone from AP Rallo to talk about the outlook around privacy and proxy services. Now, that has been scheduled currently for Monday, 16 to 18:00. So, Olivia, I'm not sure if you want to give that over to someone from Rallo.
Thank you, Heidi. I have trouble understanding you. I think there's some background noise there.
Yeah, there's some very odd background noise.
Sounds like a whale at the moment that we have somewhere. But, you know, we accept all sorts of members, including whales and dolphins. The concern, you've just mentioned, that's the first I hear about this, the shifting of the agenda. It seems to be the usual thing that we have. I don't think we should spend any more time on this. I think we have the next call, next ALAC call next month, where we will be able to discuss the agenda in further detail. I'm just a little concerned that things are just being moved around now as something as significant as a gala, which is, business as usual, I guess. Move things, work on a schedule and then shake it upside down at the end.
No, this is Heidi. From what I've heard, I think it's a one-off, and I have had confirmation that the gala in London will be back at its regular time.
Okay, thank you very much, Heidi. Let's move on to the second part of this discussion, and that's the discussion on the at-large roundtable on privacy and proxy services, which is being organized by AP Rallo, and Holly Reich will be speaking to us about this. Then I'll open the floor for questions on any aspects of the Singapore meetings. Holly Reich, you have the floor.
Thank you. Look, there are a couple of things that have been organized, and thank you, Geeka, for doing it. On the Monday from 4 to 6, that's for 1600 to 18, we're going to have the multi-stakeholder forum. The topic is going to be really twofold. One is going to be the privacy proxy servers, and maybe Carlton can update as well, but I've started to have chats with Don Blumenfeld, who's the chair of the working group, Carlton McCannis, who has put his hand up to talk. I'm hoping you do too. What I've talked to the AP Rallo about and talked to this meeting about, there is a very clear kind of connection between the discussions on privacy proxy servers and the expert working group. So we'll have one session on privacy. 1 hour will be on privacy proxy, one will be on the expert working group, and now it's just to finalize speakers. We've got a time. The other session that we're having is on Tor, and I think Garth can probably tell everybody what Tor is better than I can, but it's, I think what the onion routing is what it's called. Anyway, it's going to be a session with Patrick, who's the chair of the SSAC, the co-chair. Garth is going to be the other co-chair. Evan is going to moderate. I think there may be some moderation needed. And that will be held the hour before the multi-stakeholder meeting. So that's like, it'll be 3 solid hours on Monday. That's what I hope will be some really interesting discussion. That's all the details so far. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Holly. Do you have the exact timings for these sessions? Because at the same time on the Monday, there will also be very likely a public meeting of the Cross-Community Working Group on Internet Governance, and the group is currently looking at the Monday schedule and trying to think whereabouts on the Monday schedule they will be able to hold that meeting. I'm trying to make it that we're not going to have a clash between this and both of the meetings you've just mentioned.
Yep. Gisela has already, calling for the transcript records, Gisela has already found a slot for the tour meeting. That would be 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock. So really from 3 to 6, we've got those meetings. If you can have another time, that would be terrific. Otherwise, it's going to be a clash.
So a time so that the CCWG, the Cross Community Working Group meeting, would have to finish before 3 p.m.
Yes,
thanks. That's great. Thank you. Heidi Ulrich, you have the floor. Your hand is up.
Thank you, Olivier. We were aware of the possibility of the CCWG on Internet Governance being scheduled on Monday, so we did leave a large slot immediately after the welcome ceremony. I'm aware that there is a doodle out for the CCWG on Internet Governance currently. If that doodle results in a later in the day, then we can look into shifting the at-large meetings, because we're aware that this is a really going to be a really key meeting for everyone.
Okay, thank you. I don't think we can go any further than this now. Holly, you have the last word, and then we'll have to move on.
Yeah. Heidi, could you please, as soon as possible, confirm times, because I want to be talking to people to confirm speakers when, and I don't want to do that if there's any chance that times are going to be changed. So could we, in the next day or so, for the next little few days, make sure that the time slots that Gisela has allocated, in fact, won't be switched, so that we can start planning people. Otherwise, if we plan people and the time slots change, it's not going to work at all, okay?
Olivia, may I respond very quickly?
Heidi, absolutely, please, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Yes, the meeting this is Heidi for the record. The meeting confirmation forms have just opened, and I will be submitting them. I'm not sure when the doodle for that CCWG on Internet Governance closes, but we should get back to you, I would say, in the next week or so. But it won't be in the next few days. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's move on. I was going to open the floor for more questions or comments on all of the Singapore meetings and agendas. I suppose that we are somehow running out of time. We've got another 15 minutes maximum of interpretation. So let's plow forward with our working group update. And first, the Atlas Summit, the At-Large Summit, Atlas II Organizing Committee. For this, we have Eduardo Diaz. Eduardo, please provide us with a quick update.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Eduardo Diaz for the record. Just to let everybody know that things are moving along with the different activities for the Atlas II. We finished and have already public relation messages and strategic goals already accepted by consensus. We are talking with the PR staff and communication staff to get those fine-tuned if necessary. I understand the staff is working with the final draft list to get all the licenses ready. By 1/31, this list will be sent to constituency travel, and then they will start doing the actual logistics for all the ALS's travel. Events agenda, I understand Tijani and his group have been able to come up with a very specific draft for the activities that are going to happen during the summit. Fatima Cambronero has opened a page for their mentoring. There is going to be a mentoring program, and the first draft has been put in the wiki for comments. Glenn McKnight is in charge of the showcase celebration activity. I don't have much to say there. And we're trying to push for having a newsletter sometime February, March timeframe to start communicating to the ALSs what's happening and what is coming, and just to get the momentum going. And I know the Oliver is working with some companies about sponsor some of the activities, like a cocktail, Saturday dinner, and so forth. So as far as I can tell, we're on time on most of these things, and things are moving along. So far, that's everything I have to say. Anybody that is in any other communities are welcome to comment. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Eduardo. You've said everything, including what I wanted to say as well, so that's very efficient. Any questions or comments on the Atlas II organization? I note that Fatima Cambronero has put a link also for the Atlas II mentoring program, and there is an organizing committee that has been put together for this as well. Very, very happy to see that all of the different committees are now picking up quite well. So they're hopefully we're going to get good involvement. I urge people from our ELSers who might be listening to this call or who might be on the call at the moment to please consider joining one of those subcommittees in there. We are in need of involvement. And, of course, this is a summit that is organized by the community for the community. So the earlier you get engaged in this, the more you'll be able to take out of it. And we really look forward to working. And I'm just so thrilled to see that this will come up into an event that is likely to be as time-defining, as epic, as one could say, as the Atlas One. And thank you, Eduardo, for leading this. I've given you a lot of freeway to move forward just because I haven't had so much time to spend on this, and you've held the steering column very well so far. So, great. Next, the Board Candidate Evaluation Committee. We have Roberto Gaetano, who has been steering this ship as well. Roberto, are you on the call?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well, Captain. Please proceed forward.
Okay. I keep it very short for the sake of economy of time. There is a monthly report that has been put down for the details, and we are going to present other communication in due time. For the time being, today was the deadline for producing the slate of candidates that have done go to the next step, which is the ALAC voting. And we have communicated this a couple of days ago to the ALAC chair. For the record, the slate is composed of five candidates that have successfully passed our filter, so to say. And those are in alphabetical order of the last name: Rinalia Abdulrahim, Sébastien Bachelet, Alan Greenberg, Evan Leibovich, and Jean-Jacques Subrenat. The working group has worked on pretty tight deadlines. What we are going to work on is a sort of bullet point list of considerations for improving the process, sort of lessons learned from this. I would also in particular point out that staff has supported the group very well and has worked over the Christmas and New Year's holidays because the deadlines were had some significant milestones happening over that time, and the last voting has been done on a long weekend in the U.S. So everybody has shown exceptional dedication. So in thanking everybody, I think that the bulk of the work of the BCEC is now over, and the ball is on the ALAC camp. I think that probably Tijani will speak about the next steps. We will be only marginally involved in the next month, but in any case, we are available in Singapore for having a complete report for transparency and for better communication. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Roberto Gaetano, and I'd like to extend my thanks to the whole board candidate evaluation committee for the exceptional work that they have done. It's not easy to choose between all of the candidates, and it's sometimes just a case of being very psychologically inclined and asking more questions and being very inquisitive, etc. Cheryl Langdonor and Tijani Benchama wish to speak. I'll start with Cheryl and then Tijani. Cheryl, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Olivier. I truly appreciate this opportunity. It's Cheryl for the record. And as someone who knows very well, as many of you do, but perhaps a little more poignantly, having chaired both the original BCEC and its design team for the process, I really wanted to just congratulate the BCE now and Roberto particularly for what I think has been an amazing job and a group that has assisted us not only in producing, I think, an excellent slate of candidates, and obviously the opportunity exists for regions to add additional people who of course have already put in a statement of interest. But I think what you've done with the five you've got is an excellent slate of candidates for our consideration. However, I also wanted to point out that the ability now and the keenness I see of this excellent BCEC to improve the process, which of course goes to the work that Tijani's group is in charge of, so I won't speak to that, but I really wanted to say how delighted I am from my queen of process point of view with the way everything has been managed, its efficiency, its professionalism and of course its outcomes. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Absolutely in agreement with you. And in fact, I'll hand the floor over to Tijani Benchama, who is the chair of our board management, board member selection process committee, who's going to be able to let us know what the next steps are in our process and obviously comment on the current process. Tijani, you have the floor. And you might be muted, Tijani. Can't hear you at the moment.
Hello?
Now you're on.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Tijani. You have the floor.
Okay. Sorry, I was talking to myself.
Breaking up again. Sorry, Tijani. Cannot hear you. Have you been muted again? Well, staff, what's going on with Tijani? Have we lost him?
Olivier Gisela here. We are dialing out to Tijani as we speak.
Okay, thank you. So, effectively, we have a small technical problem, as expected from today, after a few other problems that we've had. The next steps, I believe, are for this list of selectees to now be made public and published on the wiki space and sent over to the ALAC, so staff will follow up on this. I believe that all of the people who have sent in their statement of interest or their application will be published as well, and then the next stage is for the RALOs to be able to suggest candidates to be added to the current shortlist that we have, although I do note that we have five candidates here. So that's quite a large shortlist or larger shortlist than we had in the first instance. Tijani, are you back?
Yes, I am back.
Welcome back. Go ahead, Tijani. I'm sorry, I tried to fill in the meantime.
Yes, I thank you very much. So, Tijani speaking. First, I have a question to Roberto. where and which wiki page we can find the list of this slate, of the members of this slate. I think that it must be on a public page. Is it on a public page now? Roberto?
Robert?
Okay, if you
might be
muted.
Yes, go ahead, Roberto. You have the floor.
Yeah, sorry, I was trying to unmute unsuccessfully. For the time being, it is not. We are with the staff. We are working on publishing the document and the reports and everything. That is, for the time being, it is only a communication that has been given to you, Tijani, and to Olivier. If you want, just to speed up and to bring to everybody's knowledge this, I can forward the email that I have sent to Olivier, to the whole group, or maybe it's more appropriate that Olivier does it himself or whatever. I'm open to suggestion.
Thank you. Thank you, Roberto. No, my point is that today, 28, is the date of the publication of the slate. And I think that, Olivier, perhaps you should ask the staff to do the communication with the conventional means of communication of this slate, plus all the candidates that that are in good standing, but they are not, that are not selected by the BCEC, because the RELOs will choose among those people if they want to add candidates. So today we have to have the five candidates on the slate chosen by the BCEC, plus the list of candidates that that fill the conditions, the criteria, but that who weren't chosen by the BCEC. I think that the first step now is for the staff to publish it very widely, so that everyone can know who are the candidates and who can be added. The next step for us, we will have a meeting tomorrow, the BMSPC, we will have a meeting tomorrow, and we will, if you want, decide on what we have to do practically. It is more or less clear, but we have to do it in the committee, not a person do it. We have to do it together. And it is clear that we have some days for the RELOs to think if they want to add people on this slate, among people who already had an SOI and who weren't chosen by the BCEC. When we decide if we will add or not people on the slate, If there is an additional people, we have to go back to the BCEC so that they will issue the last final slate, and then we will proceed for the vote, for the election. This is the procedure in the future, and I am open for any question if you want. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. In essence, whilst you were between calls, I alleged to what you mentioned there. And just to make it clear, the RELOs can add members from the slate of people that have already submitted their statement of interest. So you cannot just bring new people, or it's not like reopening the application process for anyone. The second thing is that three RELOs or more, but at least three RELOs need to support a candidate for them to be added to the slate, to the overall slate, and then the process will start. And staff will follow up with all of the explanation, all of the timetables and timings, so that the RELOs know how much time they have to proceed forward with this. Staff will also send out to the mailing list the list of candidates. In addition to this, some of you might have noticed that the board member selection process committee wiki pages needed to have login. That's an error, and we are working at the moment with staff to keep that open so as to keep the process as transparent as possible. Things have gone a little fast, and there's been a little bit of overwork on all sides recently. Please bear with us, and we'll have all of that information in time on there. But certainly, today is the day when the list of candidates is published, 28th of January 2014. Evan, you still have your hand up?
No, that's a new one.
That's a new one, yes. Go ahead then, Evan.
Thanks, Olivier. To Jenny, there's one part of the way that you described the procedure that I wasn't quite sure is quite right. It's my understanding right now that the BCEC, having accomplished what it did in creating the slate of five candidates, has essentially done its job, created its report, and its role is finished. If the Rallos between them decide to add more people to the slate, that doesn't require the BCEC's further involvement. It's my understanding that if the Rallos follow the procedure, if they wish to add other people onto the slate, then that becomes part of the ongoing process of other groups. But the BCEC, they've been charged to do one task. They've done it. And as far as I understood, and from what I recall from the last process, having created the initial slate, the BCEC's job is done. It no longer needs to reconvene. It can disband, and that further additions to the slate done through the Rallo process actually go through a different channel. That's my understanding of it. Thanks.
Thank you, Evan. Tejani, can you confirm, please?
Yes, 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 please. Evan, we will have 2 days after the deadline for adding people on the slate to have the final slate. And in my timeline here, I have the BCEC have to complete it. So it is not a problem. Even if it is not, I will come back to the original rules and I will confirm. But I think it is also the job of the BCEC. It's not a problem. It's something very formal. No problem.
Thank you, Tejani. And so now we know where we are going. So thanks again, Roberto, and your team for all the great work you've done here. And I hope you will continue being able to chair some of our most challenging groups at very short notice, like you have on this occasion. Next, 10C, the at-large new GTLV review group, where Seth Rees and David Antilixing lead in that. And that's the working group that reviews the follow-up to the application. Tijani, your hand is still up.
Yes, I just raised it because I didn't hear the action item for the staff to publish the list of the five candidates plus the list of the candidates.
That was done. That was done. It was done, Tijani. I'm afraid the action item list is not up to date for some reason. But whilst you were being redialed, I actually gave the action items for all of that to happen. And if staff hasn't listened, then they'll have to listen to the recording, I'm afraid. We're really running out of time. We've got one more minute left for the French interpreter, and I'm really sorry for those people on the French channel. But the APAGE New GTLD Review Group, that's a really important update. Dave and Antilixing and Seth Rees, who wishes to provide the update? Is it Dave?
This is Dave. I don't think Seth is on the call, so I guess I will do the update.
Go ahead. Dave and Antilixing.
Okay, thank you very much. This is Dave Anand speaking. Okay, so, well, before March 13th, the ALAC had filed community objections against three applicants, .health LLC, Boostfest LLC, and .health Limited for the .health string. And that was the culmination of the process by which ALAC had filed objections to a new GTLD application. The review group, facilitated the objection process within at-large, and, I could post various links that went through the entire comments, and there's also the dashboard that has the archive of the comments received by the review group, statements drafted, and so on and so forth. So the ALAC objections follow-up group was chaired by Seth Rees and was created by the ALAC to follow up with the objection process as it was being heard by the ICC. the organization that is hearing the community objections and the limited public interest objections. Well, to date, what happened since March 2013? What have the applicants, Dot Health Limited, withdrew their application? The applicants filed a response to our objection statements within 21 days, which was in April 2013. The hearing of the remaining two objections were consolidated, meaning that it will be heard by one panelist. This was approved by the ALAC objections follow-up group and the applicants. The panelist chosen was Professor Jan Paulson, who was also approved by both the follow-up group and the applicants. And the panelists didn't really ask the applicants or the ALAC follow-up group for any questions or submissions. And in fact, rendered its decision within over a month. But it's only been published just this month, in January 16th. The panelists dismissed the ALAC objections against the two applications. And there was an email that went out by Seth Reese. Maybe I don't need to repeat the entire contents. But in essence, well, if I were to try to summarize it, it was a very interesting reading that from the panelists. He went into the GNSO principles from 2008 that approved the new GTLD program and noted that there was no concerns regarding public interest. And in fact, he makes a statement that this new GTLD process clearly allowed any private interest entity to apply for these type of strings that may have raised public interest concerns. And I'm trying to find the exact text, but I'll move ahead with that. So the statement also called into question, I should mention, for community objection grounds, there were four grounds for community objections. There was what they called community, substantial opposition, targeting, and detriment. And what the panelists found was that we did not meet the threshold for these four conditions. So the follow-up action that's been suggested on the list is that there's probably need to be a discussion of how the outcomes. And the ICC also includes a form regarding giving feedback to the ICC regarding how they handle the objection process. In terms of next steps, theoretically, the ALAC could file a motion with the ICANN board, but I note that most of the other the ICANN board has not acted on previous objections that were forwarded to them for reconsideration have not been approved. So I really doubt it would succeed. I know that is times of the essence, so maybe I should stop there.
Thank you very much, Dave, for this very complete follow-up. Of course, quite a disappointment that our objections have not been sustained, but I guess this is all part of the way that things are are just rolling out. I note, actually, that a lot of the objections which were filed, including the ones by the independent objector, have been refused by the examiners. So at this point in time, I guess it is a little early to draw any conclusions from the whole process, but I'm sure that the work that we will have done will certainly, hopefully, be part of a wider review, certainly a review of the actual applicant guidebook itself, since it looks as though the person that looked at the application and looked at the objection, the adjudicator, as you call it, spent a lot of time basing their answers and their work on the applicant guidebook, which I guess is what they were supposed to do. So that's all as was intended, I guess. Let's move on. Unfortunately, the French interpreters have left. So people who were on the French channel, I hope you are able to join us on the English channel or the Spanish channel if your second language is Spanish. And I'm not even sure how long the Spanish interpreters will be able to stay with us. But let's move quickly to the next regional outreach pilot for the CROP, Community Regional Outreach Pilot Program. David,
Olivia,
back to you again.
Sentence at the end of the last issue about the objection process.
Yes. Okay. Please go ahead then, just before we move on to the next thing. Go ahead, Evan.
I simply want to call everybody's attention to a link that I just put into the Adobe Connect Room chat. That is a link that will take you to the email archive of a very, very lively discussion that's been going on within the ALAC list. I invite anybody who is interested in the issue of the objections, why the objections happen, what they mean to at-large's role in the entire objection process. There's been a lot of people participating, including other people that are not normal ALAC mailing list participants. I really encourage everyone to have a look at that. The email exchange started 6 days ago. There were a couple of unfortunate personal things back and forth in there, but if you get past that, there are some phenomenal contributions that deal with ALAC's entire role in the objection procedure, and I think can really help guide us forward as we consider how to respond and what we do next. Thank you.
This is Dave. One quick follow-up. Sorry.
Yes, go ahead, Dave, please.
Okay. I know time is of the essence, but just to mention that one of the other concerns that has been mentioned is that, the difference, the variance in which the panelists for hearing the community objections treated the applicant guidebook and interpreted it in different ways. And some, for example, in our case for .health, even though we mentioned that there was DAC early advice, the panelists basically disregarded it. Whereas in another objection against dot insurance, the panelists there took the GAC advice very seriously, and which affected his ruling. And I don't know that. This is something that we probably need to really observe and to study. You know, the various decisions, the community objection decisions. Just one final thing is that the threshold for these community objections was also high. Once it did not meet any one of the four grounds, the objection had to be dismissed. And in fact, even the independent objector, some of his community objections were dismissed as well because it did not meet the threshold. So these are all something to consider.
Thank you very much, Dave. Well, I think that at this moment in time, it's a bit hard to admit some conclusions as to whether we went wrong somewhere, whether the process was deemed to fail, whether the ALAC was set up, whether there are any procedural issues with regards to the rulings, with regards to any of this. I know that the objections follow-up team is looking at this, and I invite you and Seth and others on the team to perhaps have a look at what the different points are that the ALAC might be interested in raising. But frankly, I don't see any ability to have a reconsideration request succeed apart from us wasting a lot of time on something that has very, very little chance of being taken. As you very well said, Dave, so far any reconsideration requests that were asked from the board have been refused. So maybe we should concentrate a lot more on the things that we have coming up in our community and the at-large summit and the Brazil meeting and all of these other things, and certainly the defense of the public interest in the wider context is something that we might wish to spend more time on and put this on the side, learn from our conclusions, and perhaps participate in the post round one debriefing, which I think this community will want to push for, because certainly we've noted throughout time that there are a lot of inadequate things in the process, not only just on the objections, but on other things, and it would be helpful to be part of that review so as for the second round to be able to draw from those conclusions and learn from those mistakes or potential mistakes. Alan Greenberg, and then we'll have to move on.
Yeah, thank you, Olivier. I think what you're proposing, and I think you're proposing it, is a rational way forward. The chances of us succeeding in any further activity at this and actually influencing, you know, impacting the public good in how any TLD is deployed, I think is exceedingly small. But I think we've learned a bunch of lessons, and I think it will put us in good stead as we go forward and making recommendations on what to do next time, should there be a next time. So I would support not putting a lot of effort into this right now, but focusing on other things which will have real impact, and but learning from the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. Absolutely. And I do have to thank, by the way, the team that put together those objections, and the whole process of collecting the objections from the community as well. It is the first time, as we said, where the ALAC has had an active involvement in something that is operational. And having had to design all of its processes from scratch, in my opinion, it's done extremely well in a very short amount of time. So that's something really to recognize, and I'd like to thank all of the working group members, and you know who you are, and they're publicly listed on the wiki. Thank you for this really, really incredible work. A round of applause, a virtual applause for you. Of course, it's not the end. We've got further rounds in the future, and we learn from our, I guess we learn from our mistakes. ICANN will learn from its mistakes, we will continue to improve our process during the next round. Let's move on to the next thing, and that's the crop. Dave, back to you. Dave and Antilik Singh.
Thank you very much. So the crop, there have been three travel proposals submitted by Noralo, and so far I posted a link to these to those three proposals. Current status of those right now is that they have passed initial, two of them passed initial review by the review team and has also been approved by the BP, and are being just, well, the only thing now is the actual filing of these proposals onto the ICANN's crop wiki, and hopefully the two members from the North America who are in charge of this will be doing this very, very soon. I have sent out a notice again that, you know, the background behind the crop program is that there's outreach travel is available for at least up to five trips, but the conditions are that the travel must take place before June 30, 2014, and it must conclude by June 30, 2014, and that one of the conditions that, given that ICANN requires 6 weeks notice, we need 8 weeks for the travel request to be submitted to the crop review team in order to give us 2 weeks to really, look at it and to make suggestions, comments on it. So please, time is ticking on it, so please submit your travel proposals very soon. I think that's it.
Thank you very much, Dave. Here, absolutely only a handful of the regions have actually taken this forward into the next stage, and I hope that we're not going to miss that opportunity. And hopefully there'll be some good follow-up, and of course, this is a pilot program. Hopefully we can continue this next year. Moving swiftly on, finally, in 10E, the ICANN community preparation for the multi-stakeholder meeting in Brazil. That's, of course, the cross-community working group on internet governance, which Rafik Damak and I are coordinating. We're not chairing, we're coordinating at this very moment. Just a quick update. The working group has worked on the one side to put together a charter, which will work across all of the supporting organizations and advisory committees. There has been some questioning as to how many people from each one of the communities should be in this working group, and whether we are speaking about supporting organizations, advisory committees, and stakeholder groups. Since the GNSO has many stakeholder groups, It has a lot more members on that cross-community working group than other parts of ICANN, such as the CCNSO or the SAC or the ALAC, for that matter. The discussions are underway on that side. On the other side, there are discussions underway as to what the purpose of this working group is and what the deliverables will be. It hasn't defined the deliverables exactly, but it is clear that this is being confirmed by a visit by Fadi Shehadeh during one of our recent calls, the input or the output of this working group will actually serve as the principal input that ICANN will be bringing to the Brazil conference. Now, this was said by Fadi Shehadeh. There has been a call on the working group for this to be confirmed in writing and a commitment from ICANN to make use of the input from this working group as its principal output, or the output in this working group as its principal input, whichever, input and output. The process is there and progress is being made, although I must admit a little slow, but this is always what happens with cross-community working groups. They just need to be oiled a little bit in the beginning to get moving. Questions or comments on any of these working group updates are very welcome. There is a question about Vinserf's panel in its report from Peter Knight. Very good point indeed, actually. As you know, there are some strategic panels which were created a few months ago, quite a few strategic panels. And they are also making inputs into various processes in ICANN. You must have seen in the at-large announce that there have been some webinars that were done by those strategic panels. There are more webinars. I believe there is one at the end of the week as well from one of the strategic panels. If you've missed the strategic panel webinar, since it was a webinar, you can it's all recorded and it's all available for download. Please ask staff or check on the at-large mailing list. There have been some announcements on the ALAC announce, and you can actually even see for some of them the video archive and chat record as well. So thank you for pointing this out, Peter Knight. And the input from these will also go into the input that ICANN will be sending in Brazil. But there's a follow-up after that, and I will continue to update you on the progress. Just remembering, we have quite a few people from at-large, four people from at-large who are in that working group, and they're also bringing their input to the process. Now, number 11, the update on compliance issue. For any of you that have not reloaded your agenda, so if you're on the on the Confluence website and you've got the agenda in front of you, please reload your agenda and you'll see one additional point which we did not include in there. The at-large leadership team had an extensive discussion with Garth Bruin regarding an issue on compliance, following up on the email that Garth had sent over to the ALAC mailing list, and which was effectively pointing out some issues with compliance and several serious issues with compliance. Garth has updated his report and set an update to this. There was an action item in the at-large leadership team for him, Evan Lubavitch and Adam Greenberg, to put together maybe just a wiki page and develop a draft statement and present it over to the ALAC on this present call. Unfortunately, that hasn't happened, but we're giving an ability now to discuss this. Garth is unfortunately not on the call anymore. He had to step out, but he is listening to it, and he has put the Washington Post article into the chat. The question really now for this committee is what we do next. How do we move forward? And I guess as a first step, really checking out on the action item, whether this can become an action item for this, for the ALAC rather than an ALAC leadership team action item. But I see Alan Greenberg, who's got his hand up, so maybe we can follow-up. Oh, and thanks also, Garth, yes, originally sent in the Narala Monthly report, there is a link over to that article as well. Alan Greenberg, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. My recollection is what we decided to do, and I'm sorry we didn't get to it, but my recollection is that we decided to reformulate the specific complaint as a compliance report that would be submitted by you or by someone on behalf of the ALAC, that is, targeting the specific infraction that we believe is there today, essentially challenging compliance to either act on it or tell us they're not going to act on it. And the second part was to put together a proposal to compliance to build a submission process by which reports of essentially multiple infractions, that is a problem which affects large numbers of complaints, be handled. The original discussion was lifting the limit on the bulk submission tool, and my belief is that that's not a practical thing to do. Yes, someone may be able to develop 1,000 or 10,000 or 20,000 complaints, but since that process has them handled one by one, there's not a lot of merit in doing that. If compliance were to lift that limit to that level, they would then get 6 months' worth of work to do, completely destroying the complaint process for any future complaints for a significant amount of time, and would not be relying on the fact that if someone could generate 10,000 requests at once, they're likely linked. And that method of handling one by one is not the appropriate way to address that kind of problem. So the proposal, which I think I made originally, is to develop a new process, or propose that they develop a new process, but in parallel handle the specific complaint that Garth has identified as a formal complaint into the compliance process, essentially as a challenging compliance to either reject it, and then we take whatever action we choose at that point, or to actually see it through. For those who haven't read the documents, the issue is that there are privacy proxy registrations, a relatively large number of them, where the proxy provider lists a non-existent email address, non-existent because the domain that the email address is in does not exist, a purportedly non-existent street address, and so forth. So I think that's how we went forward, and I would still propose doing that and perhaps prodding Evan, me, and Garth to actually get to the point of doing it.
Thank you very much, Alan, for this explanation. And there's also some more explanation on the chat, which Garth has provided us with underneath. So regarding the case of rapecube.org and several false sewers. Question is, where do we go from here? The action item was for the ALAC to develop a statement and a formal statement on this. First to touch on the raising of the number of complaints that can be filed, a bulk, and also a change in the actual process itself by which those complaints are being dealt with, so that they could be batched in one go rather than being treated on an individual basis. Alan, your hand is still up.
Yeah, no, a new hand. I don't believe we decided to charge the group of the three of us with developing a statement. I think we'd charge with developing a plan.
Developing a plan.
Right, a proposal, not a statement.
Okay, so, Alan, you've touched on the proposal here. I think that we really need to move forward on this, and I would urge the three of you to put together that proposal, put it on the wiki, get the ALAC, all of the ALAC, to be able to read through that proposal, and let's get something out within the next 2 to 3 weeks directly and send it over to compliance, vote on it, having a, have it as a formal set of documents, and then we will be able to engage in a dialogue, in an ongoing dialogue with compliance based on all of what we have here. The concern I have at the moment is if I take this and engage in a dialogue, then it makes things, it has the potential to make things personal, and I'd like to have this all formalized with a vote, etc.
I understand. I would suggest that the two issues not be linked, because one of them we should be able to do in a matter of a day or two, and the other one is going to take a little bit longer to think through.
Okay. Do you have a timetable for us, please, then, as to being able to move for a first step?
I'm suggesting that the specifics of the case in point we can address very quickly, I think we can do that within a matter of days.
Okay. Can you tell them what the action item is that you're? What is the action item that you're putting yourself to, that you're linking yourself to them? Staff can record an action item right here.
It is the same action item: to develop a plan, a proposal to address the issues Garth raised.
Okay.
And the outline of that is, it will have two parts. One is a complaint to compliance. Number two, a proposal to how to go forward with the generic type of problem that has been identified as problematic, that is, not being able to submit large numbers of requests due to the limitation on the bulk submission tool.
Okay, thank you. Staff, do we have this?
This is Heidi. Yes, we do.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Right, so thank you for this, and when this is developed, please could staff then forward this to the ALAC on the ALAC mailing list, but also forward it over to the at-large, the wider mailing list, so that everyone can comment on this.
Olivier, it's Alan. Do we really want to broadcast the details of the complaint before we issue it that way? I would suggest we might not want to.
Well, this is quite a transparent process. Are you saying that we should not?
I'm not saying hide it. I'm just not.
Discuss it with Garth, but it's the eternal problem of being as transparent as possible whilst keeping our punch at the same time and being able to develop things properly. But this is something we have to struggle with all the time, and I'd rather keep it open rather than...
We'll make a recommendation.
Thank you. Thanks for this. So, we're reaching the end of this call. We are now going into, finally, any other business. And, in fact, since the beginning of this call, there have been two additional other business that have come up. But first, I'll let others take the floor. So I see Cheryl Engdenor first. Cheryl, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Cheryl Engdenor for the record. And it's a very brief little piece of any other business, which hopefully will lead to an action item to do with a page of monthly reports from working groups that are presented for the record for each at-large advisory committee meeting. I have updated the one relating to the Rules of Procedure Working Group with the events and resolution from today's meeting for you. And at this stage, I would like staff to move that link to the archives section of the page, because that will go into torpor for now, noting that we will reinvigorate it as needs be in future. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Staff, has this been recorded?
Cheryl, I will be in contact with you afterwards to clarify that AI. This is Heidi.
Thank you, Heidi. So two more pieces of any other business, if I don't see anyone else put their hand up. First, the fact that during this call we have received, well, actually 24 hours ago or less than 24 hours ago, I have received a note from Avery Doria, who has resigned from the position of the new GTLD working group chair, and she has announced it over to the working group just a few minutes ago. I find it quite sad that she has resigned, because she did a fantastic amount of work to lead this working group to do its work and be very active in the number of statements that it has produced, and certainly anything related to the new GTLD program. But she explains her resignation from the amount of work she is now faced with in the real world. And this, I guess, is something that we all have to struggle with, the struggle between our volunteer activities and doing things that bring bread onto the table. So I'd like to ask for a real round of thanks and applause, a virtual applause again, for Avery, for all that great work that she has done during the several years that she has been chairing this working group. I note for the record, there's applause throughout the Adobe Connect room. Of course, we have another co-chair of this working group, and that's Evan Leibovich. I gather that the recommendation will be for us to then get have someone to take Avery's chair as well. Evan, do you have a few words on this? Is the working group going to select another chair as well, or another co-chair?
Thanks, Olivier. I think part of the interest and part of the strength that Avery brought was her connections to other communities, such as NCSG. Now that I believe she's on GNSO Counselor, that sort of makes that really difficult. So it's hard to say that the group needs to share the load, considering that it's done really not a whole lot in the last little while. In fact, in some important ways, it's been stuck with its wheels spinning on things such as the applicant support survey. So I agree with you. It's a matter, let's take it back to the group, see how the working group responds. If there's a need for more co-chairs, fine. If not, I'm prepared to go it alone. But really, we need a little bit more life, a little bit new mandate, and to keep going, because, you know, so many of the components of the GTLD program, we've seen the objection process, we're seeing the categorization issue. You know, so many of these things are either coming and going really quickly, and don't work with the kind of deliberative leadership that the working group has traditionally been doing. So we're in a bit of a difficult situation in terms of mandate and what it is we can do. This is something we need to take back to the working group, and I'm happy to do that. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Evan. And perhaps it would be worth the working group setting up a call very soon so as to be able to discuss what next, what happens next, and what it wants to do. Certainly there's a lot of work still on the table, and as you mentioned, the follow-up to the new GTLD process will be a sizable chunk of work that will continue. In the meantime, I have not answered to Avery specifically because I wanted to announce her resignation first to you all here, but I will, having seen the applause that was the virtual applause on this call, I will convey this vote of thanks and over to her thanks on behalf of the At-Large Advisory Committee and of the At-Large Committee for the stellar, sterling, fantastic work that she has done. And, you know, when she started, I told her there's at least one thing I don't have to worry about, and that's the new GTLD process, because I know that you and your team have got it well in hand, and certainly that has proven to be the case. So great, and thanks. Finally, one more piece of any other business, and that's going to be quite quick. You might have noticed that there is someone, a human, would you believe it? It's not even an automated machine thing, a human who keeps on spamming the wiki pages anonymously. So they just write some kind of advertising for clothing labels and websites and so on. Staff, myself and a few others have been playing deleting those as quickly as they could. But it's not something that is only constrained to at large. It's actually spanning all of the wiki. Just as we were having this call today, there's been another huge wave of spamming. Again, clearly that person has plenty of time to waste. So it has been discussed with IT, and in fact affected during this call, that the anonymous commenting is suspended until further notice, hoping that that person will go away soon, or these people will go away soon, because it might be more than one person. I realize it is a bit of a problem and an issue when not everyone in our community has a login to be able to leave comments. If you have a login, then you can log in, and then the comment box will appear. If you don't, then especially on our policy development, just please send your comments to staff@atlarge.icann.org, and they will be forwarding this comment and putting this comment on the wiki on your behalf. I think that's the best way to be able to stop our community from being spammed. And we will, of course, evaluate in the future if this wave of spamming stops and if we can change this again and reopen our wikis for people to comment on. These are the two. Any other business for the time being? I ask if there is any other business on the call. And I don't see anyone put their hand up, so I believe that is the end of this call. I thank all of you for having lasted that long. It's been 2 hours and 45 minutes since we have started. Thank you to the interpreters, and thanks to staff for having been able to support us. We've been under a bit of strain today, with being a bit short of staff here at all. It's been very helpful to have all of you here, and I'm very impressed that you've all managed to last. So thanks, and this call is now adjourned. Goodbye.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Take care, everyone. Bye.